This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast, of course, a YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there. Oh, we've arrived. We have arrived. It is the start of the Major League Baseball season this week, opening day on Thursday. I cannot wait. And by Thursday, we'll find out what the Phillies lineup is, what the top of the order is, who's the leadoff hitter, at least for Thursday. And then maybe it'll be different on Saturday, and then back to the way it was on Thursday on Sunday. As Rob Thompson has now soft launched this to the point everyone's caught on, it sounds like the Phillies are going to have two different lineups. If you've been following along in spring training, when a right-handed pitcher starts, Kyle Schwarber leads off. When a left-handed pitcher starts, well, that would be Trey Turner leading off for the Phillies. It sounds like the Phillies are planning two different lineups, two different top four, same guys, different order in the top four against lefties, Turner, Harper, Bohm, Schwarber against righties, Schwarber, Turner, Harper, Bohm. All right, let's dive into this because it's a hedge. I mean, it clearly is a hedge by Rob Thompson on the lineup, on the decision. And now we get to find out if this is a good call or a bad call by Rob Thompson. Let's do some pros and cons. The pros and the cons of having two different lineups here. We'll go pro-con, and kind of go through them. All right, let's go to the pro, right? Let's start with the first reason why this could work for the Phillies. It optimizes the lineup. I mean, Trey Turner has an 860 career OPS against left-handed pitching. So you start the game off with one of your best hitters against lefties. Kyle Schwarber has an 872 career OPS against right-handed pitching. You start those games off with your best option that particular day. It also, against lefties in particular, gets Turner and Bohm probably a chance at one extra turn through before the bullpen comes in or before the opposing manager wants to get that starting pitcher out maybe a third time. Maybe that fifth inning, you get a third run through, or the sixth inning, you get that third run through against that left-handed starter. And we know these guys are better against lefties. So it's an optimization of the lineup. Same thing the opposite days, whether it be Schwarber and Harper getting that extra shot at that right-handed pitcher. Now, the other part of this is it could force teams into the bullpen earlier, which could have a cumulative effect over a series. I think there's a lot of reasons, you know, analytically optimizing the lineup on a day-to-day basis is the right way to do things. I think teams like the Dodgers do this on a pretty routine basis. The year the Giants won 107 games, they did this on a pretty routine basis. So there is something, you know, if you just take it in a vacuum, that makes a lot of sense about doing it this way. That's the first pro. Like, just numerically, it does optimize the lineup, and I think that is nothing but a good thing for the Philadelphia Phillies. All right, let's go to a con, okay? So the pro is it does optimize things. A con, of course, these are human beings. These are people. This is not a spreadsheet. This isn't just numbers. It's actual people that have to go out there. And we have a group here of veteran players. These aren't young guys. These aren't part-time players. These aren't platoon players. These are the guys the Phillies want to give the top four spots in the order to, in some order. These are guys the Phillies trust offensively. These are guys they're going to rely on. And three of them, you would think, no matter what happens this season, that's not going to change. That would be Schwarber, Harper, Turner. And, you know, there might be days where Bohm slumps and Bohm is out of this mix and it becomes a Castellanos, right? Or he kind of takes that spot as the second right-handed hitter. Okay, but for the most part, it's this kind of grouping here. And even if you want to say Turner could slump his way out of this, okay. You have two main cogs that I'd be shocked if they're anywhere but somewhere in the top four all year. That'd be Harper, clear main cog, and then Schwarber, a main cog of this offense. So you're changing everyone. You know, it's one thing if it's just a Turner-Schwarber thing every day, right? Back and forth, one and two, one and two. That's not what this is. To make this work, Bryce Harper has to change every single day based on the opponent's arm, right? The handedness of the pitcher. He goes from two when he's behind Turner at the one, or he goes three when he's behind Schwarber at the one, Turner at the two. So against right-handed pitchers, let's say two out of every 3 days, Bryce Harper is settling into his normal spot as a number three hitter in the lineup. And then the other day, you know, when a lefty is pitching, he's batting second, sandwiched in between the two right-handed hitters in Turner and in Bohm. How is Bryce Harper going to handle that? The first time Bryce Harper has a slump, is he going to go to Topper's office and say, can we reestablish something? I'm all over the place. I'm two, I'm three, I'm three, I'm two. I don't know. You know, that part of this is real. And the same thing for Kyle Schwarber, because, you know, in this, Schwarber's got the most opposing, you know, Turner's one or two. Harper's two or three, Bohm's three or four. The one guy that has to switch the most in terms of just stylistically is Schwarber one or four, right? It's not one or two. It's not just a quick flip-flop. It's one or four. So on some days, Schwarber's in that zone of I got to get on base, home runner on base. And then if he's at four, there's probably going to be way more RBI opportunities for Kyle Schwarber. So is that where you try to just put the bat on the ball and try to get a single or hit the ball over the second baseman's head and knock a run in? That's a different mentality than just being the leadoff hitter and going up there and kind of having your three true outcome type of thing at the line at the top of the order. So there's the human element of this. These guys have to change, think differently on a daily basis. And if they don't love it, how long until one of them says, hey, can we settle on something here? I don't mind. I'll do one or four. Just use Schwarber as the example. I'll do one or four. Or use Bryce as the example. I'll do two or three. Whatever you think, Topper. But can we settle in? So there's the human element that has to be part of this. All right, let's go to the next pro. It does give Rob Thompson some extra time to figure this out. Now, you could look at this as an optimization and a year-long experiment. Or you could look at it as Rob Thompson is trying to buy some time here to figure out what his actual lineup is, that he's going to give this a month to go both ways, to see what both look like. And then maybe by the time we get to May 1st, he's like, I'm just going to actually roll with this one. This is the one that has worked for me. This is the one the guys feel comfortable. This is the one. And if we're going with the data, that would probably point back to the one we saw last year. And in years past, because there are more right-handed pitching. So there is just more righties. So he's going to see more of that. And it would probably have the better chance to kind of play itself out over a larger sample. You know, we got to see how many lefties they're going to see the first couple weeks of the season. We know they're going to see one on opening day because Mackenzie Gore is going to start for the Washington Nationals Thursday in D.C. I'm going to see if we got starters and probables for Friday. Yeah, well, actually, it would be Saturday. There's no starter listed for the Nationals for Saturday, none for Sunday either. So I'm not sure what we're going to see on Saturday and Sunday. I do know, though, that we'll see some lefties. I mean, I'm going to look at the Philly schedule right now. So they're going to face the Nationals, Rockies, Dodgers to start the season. They'll get to the Braves, Cardinals. You know, the Giants have some lefties. That's in the middle of the month. They'll be home for four games, the 14th through the 17th against San Francisco. That feels like a spot they could see some lefties. The Cubs have some lefties with Imanaga and Steele. So they face Washington again end of April before the calendar turns to May. So they'll probably see a decent amount of lefties. But again, it's baseball. You're going to see more right-handed pitchers than lefties. But it feels to me like it's a hedge. It gives Topper extra time to figure this out. All right, let's go to another con. And a con that Rob Thompson is inviting on himself as he does this. And that is the day-to-day reaction. I mentioned the players. Players are one thing. That's something Rob's got to manage, literally. That's his job. He's creating this. He's got to manage it and the egos and the personalities and their feelings and all that stuff, good and bad, as he flips the lineup on a day-to-day or every other day basis. But the other thing he's got to deal with is the reaction from us, from fans, from WIP. And that will present itself with the questions he's being asked every day. You know, the people that cover the team, there's a lot of great people that cover the Phillies on a day-to-day basis. They're going to ask the questions that everyone reading them, listening to them, you know, whatever the platform is, wants to know and wants to understand. So they're going to ask those questions and they're going to write about them and they're going to podcast about them. They're going to go on the radio about them and TV and all that stuff. And the question every day is going to be about the lineup. And have you settled? Are you going to settle? Is this a year-long thing? And specifically, you know, it's one thing to talk about, okay, if someone struggles, what do you do then? But what if someone succeeds? And I'll give you an example. Let's go Trey Turner. You know, I think he's very likely to lead off on Thursday against Mackenzie Gore, the left-handed starter for the Washington Nationals. Let's say Trey goes 3-for-4 with 3 hits against Mackenzie Gore on Monday. And then let's say, on opening day, excuse me, on Thursday. Let's say Saturday, game number 2 down in D.C., the Nationals throw a righty. Again, it could be a lefty. I don't know their full rotation right now and how they're going to go order-wise this minute. But let's just say they go with a right-handed pitcher on Tuesday. Again, my brain's all messed up. On Saturday, second game of the season. So Thursday, opening day, we know Mackenzie Gore starting a lefty. Saturday, game number 2, because they have that off day Friday in between, it's going to be a right-handed pitcher. Does Trey then is not the leadoff hitter on Saturday? I mean, if it's really based on handedness, then statistics and the day before and the results don't matter. We're optimizing the lineup on a daily basis. That could be tough, though. Trey feels like he got in a groove. He let off. He went 3-for-4, and he's not hitting leadoff the next day. Same thing with Schwarber. Hits a pair of bombs against a righty, and now he's back. Now he's down to 4th the next day instead of leading off. So there's that element where people are going to be like, wait a second, this just worked. Trey's hot. They just faced two straight lefties, got 6 hits in the games. We got to keep him at leadoff. He's the leadoff hitter now. And Topper's going to have to be strong if this is his conviction to go day by day. But that's going to be a lot. It's going to be a day-by-day conversation about the lineup instead of just, this is what it is. Let's roll with it for a while. And then we might react if it goes bad. If it goes good, we'll be quiet like we are with Schwarber. So that's what Topper's inviting. That's a con. Another pro would be a little competition, a little friendly competition between these guys. Who wants to keep the leadoff spot? Who wants to push each other? Trey gets a couple hits one day. Maybe Schwarber's in the next day. Maybe it pushes him a little further. So I do like it could create a little friendly competition. You know, in the rotation in baseball, pitchers tend to do that to each other. Like Nola and Wheeler and Sanchez could push each other. I wonder if this could push themselves a little bit. Maybe Turner pushes Harper and Harper pushes Boehm and Schwarber pushes Turner and all that kind of stuff to be the best version of themselves. I think that could be a good thing. Last con here, as we talk some pros and cons of the idea of two separate leadoff hitters for the Phillies based on the day, which would be, what if a team thwarts this with an opener? So I think it seems like the Dodgers, who have the bullpen and the wherewithal and the smarts and the background to do an opener. I think a team like the Mets with David Stearns, who was with the Brewers for all those years. The Mets also don't have super high-end starting pitching. I mean, they could tell Trevor McGill and they could tell, you know, Kodai Senga, who's a good pitcher, but he's been banged up. They could tell David Peterson and Griffin Canning and Grant Holmes, hey, you're going to start in the second inning. They don't have $30 million a year starting pitching. You know, the Phillies probably wouldn't do that to Zach Wheeler. They wouldn't do it to Aaron Nola. They probably wouldn't even do it to Christopher Sanchez at this point. You know, they might do it to Ranger and Lizardo. But my point is, the Phillies have established starters. You're not going to do it to them. The Mets, the Dodgers, who are just progressive in everything, the Brewers, who have been doing this since Stearns was there, the Cubs would counsel. These are teams that don't have the biggest name, high-end, expensive starting pitching, and are very progressive in their thinking. So let's just play it out. And let's say the Phillies are doing this all year. We get to the postseason. They're playing the Mets. Senga is supposed to pitch in the game. Or Clay Holmes is supposed to pitch in the game. Right-handed starters. And the Phillies typically on those days are going to go with the left-handed look to the lineup. Right? They're going to start with Schwarber. And then Harper's going to be 3. Turner 2. Boehm 4. Well, what if... You know, excuse me. Yeah, that's where they would go. What if then in that case, the Mets say, all right, we actually are going to start the lefty. And then the Phillies have to flip their lineup to the left-handed lineup, but then those guys are out after the first inning. So it's like, you know, what do you want? What is the objective? Is the objective to dominate the first inning and then you just say, whatever you throw, we'll throw ours back at you and then we'll worry about the rest of the game later? Or is it a couple turns through? Because in that case, it would throw that whole thing off because by the second turn, you're out of the optimization. You're now facing the opposite hand of what you wanted to do. I mean, this is real nitty-gritty stuff, but in a big game, the Dodgers will muck it up. I mean, they've done this for years. The Brewers will muck it up. The Mets now with Stearns, and we started to see this a little bit last year, they will muck it up. Because that's the way the kind of staff they've built. They didn't build a staff built around high-end, expensive starting pitching. They built it around having the best 12 or 13 arms they could throw at a time. So that's a con. If the strategy could be thwarted simply by an opener, teams that have staffs that are built like that will do it to them. I think it's interesting. I think it's going to give us a lot to chew on the first couple weeks of the season. Ultimately, because of who these guys are, how expensive they are, a veteran they are, I think he's going to eventually settle in on one thing and keep that for a while. But it looks like we're getting two different lineups to start the season. There are pros, but there are certainly some cons involving reaction, involving the player's psyche. It's not in a vacuum. And involving teams getting smart to thwart it if that's what they want to do. Appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Of course, our YouTube feed, 94WIP. Check that out there. Have a great Monday. Opening day 3 days away. March Madness is rolling. We got a lot to talk about on WIP Daily and the Midday Show from 10 to 2. Thanks so much for listening. We'll talk soon.